Hello and welcome to Resilient Faith, a podcast ministry of Brentwood Presbyterian Church in Los Angeles, California. I'm Janice McQueen Ward, the worship elder at BPC, and I want to welcome and thank you for being here with us. Our current podcast series shares the sermons and inspired conversations from a sermon series earlier in 2022 and based on the book, The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown. In the series, we dive into letting go of perfection in exchange for being imperfect, vulnerable, and yes, worthy of God's love and belonging just as we are. As Christians, we found a lot of resounding themes within the wisdom of this book and connected it to our life of faith. Over the next 5 weeks, gain insight as to how you can better value yourself as a beloved child of God, let go of what you think you're supposed to be, and embrace who you really are in God's eyes. Come on this journey with us.
Now that we've all gathered at the river, it's a great place to hear the word of God. Our scripture today is what's known as the Call of Moses. Now, we're going to be reading from the end of the Call of Moses, but it starts a whole chapter before this. It starts at the beginning of chapter 3 with the burning bush and Moses taking off his sandals, and Moses is, shall we say, arguing with God through most of 3 and 4 in Exodus. And so we're picking this up with chapter 4, verse 10. Before this, God has shown Moses these signs. He has told him that his staff will turn into a snake. He's taken his hand in and out of his cloak. And all of these are signs that the Pharaoh will know that Moses is the real deal. But we're picking this up right at the very end of this call story. So this is Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 to 17. And as always, friends, I invite you to listen for a word that God might have for you today. But Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Then the Lord said to him, "Who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to speak." But Moses said, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "What of your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Even now he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, his heart will be glad. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. He indeed shall speak for you to the people. He shall serve as a mouth for you, and you shall serve as God for him. Take in your hand this staff with which you shall perform the signs." Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today, we are talking about authenticity and vulnerability. Oh, what a terrible topic, really. I mean, who wants to be vulnerable? Ugh. Authenticity and vulnerability are qualities that we admire in other people. We might even be able to identify people in our lives who we consider the real deal. But it can be really scary to show our true colors to the world. It's a recurring theme in the book that inspired our sermon series that we're in right now, Brené Brown's The Gifts of Imperfection. She did all this research on how to live a wholehearted life, And she found that people who live wholeheartedly, perhaps unsurprisingly, are authentic and vulnerable. Take Moses. Moses, as we just heard, is real. Moses isn't pretending. He's vulnerable. I don't know how to talk good, and I need help. Moses is just out there with God. He's not holding back. How many people are vulnerable with God? Friends, when's the last time that you had an authentic and vulnerable conversation with God? I think in the face of a call from God, a lot of us say we are inadequate. It's natural to have fears and concerns, but many of us have a sense of shame about what our inadequacies are. We don't want to talk about what is inadequate about us because we are embarrassed and we are ashamed. But there is something beautiful about Moses saying, I have real shortcomings for this very big job. I need help. How often do we do that? Moses is not holding back his trepidation to do as God has called. One of my all-time favorite scripture verses is Exodus 4:13. Oh, my Lord, please send someone else. Literally anyone. But unfortunately for Moses, it's like that movie scene from Ferris Bueller's Day Off where the teacher is taking roll call and calling out Bueller, Bueller, Bueller repeatedly with no response. There is no Bueller. There is nobody else that God wants to replace Moses. Aaron is only invited to come along out of God's anger and exasperation with Moses' insecurity and relentless apprehension. As my people say, bless his heart. According to Brené Brown, authenticity is the daily practice of letting go of who we think we're supposed to be and embracing who we are. The daily practice of letting go of who we think we're supposed to be and embracing who we are. Choosing authenticity means three things, according to my close personal friend, Brené. Cultivating the courage to be imperfect, to set boundaries, and to allow ourselves to be vulnerable. Number two, exercising the compassion that comes from knowing that we are all made of strength and struggle. And number three, nurturing the connection and sense of belonging that can only happen when we believe that we are enough. Authenticity demands wholehearted living and loving, even when it's hard, even when we're wrestling with the shame and fear of not being good enough. So, going back to our friend Moses, God is not asking Moses to be anyone other than exactly who he is. God doesn't want someone else. God wants Moses, with all his imperfections, to be the one to set the people free. It takes strength to admit you are weak, bravery to show you are vulnerable, courage to ask for help, says author Holly Whitaker. She goes on, it's also not a one-time gig. You don't just do it once and move on. It's a way of existing, a balancing act. She says, for me, it looks like this. I pick up the baton and I run as far as I can and I hand it over when I'm out of breath. Or actually, maybe it's like, I'm running with the baton, but the universe is holding on to the other half of it, and we have an agreement that I'll figure out the parts I can and hand over the parts I can't. It sounds so counterintuitive to find strength in weakness, bravery in vulnerability, courage in asking for help. It's certainly countercultural. We live in a society where showing any weakness can and will be used against you. And yet the Apostle Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians, "Power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." We look to our biblical witness and see that we worship and serve a vulnerable God, a God who calls us into a life of relationship, a God who loves us and is for us and came to earth in human form to be with us. We don't usually talk about baby Jesus outside of the season of Advent, but what's more vulnerable than a baby? And besides, Advent will be here in like 5 minutes. Jesus says people who live the vulnerable life of connection and relationship will bear much fruit, according to Richard Rohr. He says these are the people we trust, like, and admire. And yet so many of us are afraid to be the very thing that we admire the most. How foolish human beings are. But again, Jesus has told us the way. He is the vine, we are the branches. None of us can be or need to be correct, but we can always be connected. I recently learned of a book called Vulnerability and Glory by theologian Christine Culp. In it, she claims that vulnerability is the pivot of salvation, the point at which salvation occurs. Ooh, it's a sticky and uncomfortable claim, is it not? That our vulnerability and our salvation might be linked somehow in God's divine creation? And yet we see again and again in our biblical witness God's magnificent manifestation and revelation to regular, imperfect human beings, just like Moses. We see God's embodiment of human form in Jesus. We see ourselves with all of our imperfections as made in God's image, and we bear witness to that image in one another. It's not about being perfect. It's about being authentic. It's not about being strong. It's about being vulnerable. The social and cultural expectations are not true to our biblical witness and who we are as God's beloved people. Who we are created to be is way better than who we are pretending to be. When I was a kid, my school bus driver had this poster up front that said, "God made you and God doesn't make no junk." And that's the beauty of Moses. God made Moses, imperfections and all, but God doesn't make no junk. It's not about being perfect or protected or buttoned up tight. It's about being our full selves, being real and vulnerable, being finite and messy, made of bone and blood and heart and spirit. It's not perfect, and it is beautiful. Sometimes the most beautiful moments are the messiest. I want to close with this story by author Rachel Pye Jones. These are her words. Sometimes church feels more like the kingdom of pretenders than the kingdom of God. When someone I loved tumbled into depression, I dropped my life and flew across borders to be there. The first Sunday we spent together, I asked if she wanted to go to church. No, she said. I felt relief. I didn't want to go either, but I asked her, why not? I don't want to be with those people pretending. We slept in, went out for hamburgers, and listened to a podcast interview with Richard Rohr. I prayed for healing. It felt holy. I understood that my loved one didn't want to endure the empty predictability of a service. Even getting dressed was hard in those days. What we both needed was the healer, the Jesus who knelt in dirt, mixed it with saliva, and spread it on a blind man's face, the Jesus who touched a woman who hadn't stopped bleeding in over a decade, the Jesus who raised the dead son of a widow, the Jesus who was not afraid of dirt, stigma, or sorrow. But I have not allowed myself to be helped or to be needy. Now that what I have is brokenness, now that I need the healer, I am afraid to be vulnerable, afraid to ask for what I need. It was in this state that I found the human church I had been missing, a gathering of hurting and spiritual people. In the middle of the darkest months of the season of depression, I spent one weekend with friends. I was weary, lonely, afraid, grieved, confused, and uncertain about my future. My friends host a weekly dinner and prayer group called Sunday Sandwiches. Rachel, my friend asked before the others arrived, can we use our time tonight to pray for you? Yes, I said, surprising myself, I would like that. I regretted it as soon as the words came out. It felt easier to pretend I was fine and to be alone with my grief. When most of us had finished eating, my friend introduced me and asked me to share. I talked about navigating this trial while in a foreign country, my terror of a potential call to an emergency ambulance or psych ward, long walks to pharmacies and grocery stores and feeling trapped, being scared a lot of the time, not knowing the future, learning to live day by day, loneliness, loss of what I thought I had known. Tears started. Small beads in the corner of my eyes and then a steady stream down my cheeks, gathering at my chin and dripping onto my fingers, and I let them flow. The silence was thick, like a blanket, like arms, like mercy. Someone spoke a single sentence. It was full of thankfulness. The first words spoken over my loved one were of thankfulness. Then silence, then more prayers, prayers of blessing, of images, spoken words, a song, passages of scripture, more prayers filled with truth. They prayed with detailed words and deep insight. They saw us. They did not begrudge that I took their whole prayer time. I did not feel selfish. I felt upheld. I felt churched. For the first time in many years and among strangers. It is in admitting need, in the release of tears, in meeting brokenness with tenderness and open hands and generous hearts. I was ready to abandon the church, to say I didn't need community. But that isn't true. I am desperate for it, for the church of the God of love. So, church, go be messy and vulnerable and authentic. Be the people God created you to be, because God doesn't make no junk. Amen.
We are so grateful you have joined us and hope this episode helped fuel your mind, body, and soul. This podcast is produced by me, Janice McQueen Ward, and by Cameron Ward, who also created the music. Don't forget to leave a review and subscribe to our podcast and support us financially through the Give page of the BPC website. Until next week, go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.